It's the Dave School, the digital animation and visual effects school, sponsoring this podcast because they want you to know they have this amazing one-year training program in computer animation and visual effects.
They are used in almost every movie you see now, digital animation, visual effects, not just the big blockbusters, but regular films too. And I'll tell you something, Iron Man 3, yeah. 48 graduates from the Dave School.
Plenty of people go to the Dave School, man, and they let you make short films part of the program.
You can see the Lego movie that finally put Mark Hamill's Joker up against Adam West's Batman.
The Dave School allows you to do that sort of stuff right on this backlot Universal Studios in Orlando.
So you spend a year in Florida learning how to make digital animation and visual effects.
Go check them out at daveschool.com and apply and go figure out how to make some special effects, man.
The next class starts January the 6th, so you need to act now. Do something for yourself. Go to daveschool.com and apply.
It's time to babble the fuck on. Live from the world-famous improv, it's Hollywood Babylon. With your hosts, Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman.
It is, Saturday night. Here we go. It is Saturday night in Orange County, man, so let's babble the fuck on. I'm Kevin Smith.
And I'm Ralph Garman. Very nice to see you people.
I have been here to do a Y-Bry a little while ago, but I believe this is your debut down here, no?
It is. Actually,
Improv?
I did a podcast years ago with Adam Carolla. My old roommate Adam Carolla did a show down here. It was pre-you, honey, pre-you. It's okay.
It's so weird. It's like being at the mall with your girlfriend, and she's like, I sucked that guy's cock.
No, he had me on as a guest, and I came down here. I didn't realize until I got here. It's like, oh, yeah, I played here before, because Carolla did a thing down here, and I came on stage with him just for a minute.
Right so, on. But see, there it is. You came on stage with him and shit. Just... You got to rub it in my face and whatnot. You're
but this is our inaugural
bitch.
Babylon here at the Bray Improv.
Thanks
so much for selling us out. Hardcore. You guys are the best. We really appreciate it. That means we'll be back because you guys came out and we appreciate that.
In a heartbeat, man. This has been a fantastic week for me. I just wrapped week one on the first movie I made in 3 years, a movie called Tusk.
Yeah.
It was. It's been quite the fucking experience. I'm just happy as fuck with everything I'm getting. Michael Parks plays our bad guy. He was in Red State with us. As genius as he was in Red State, he ratchets it up here. He's the same kind of psychotic, but cuddlier. It's pretty.
Oh, amazing. Sure. Well, any guy that turns another guy into a walrus has to be cuddly.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But Justin Long, man, I got to give utter props to, is absolutely crushing it. Like,
he's a great actor. I love
so
him.
Fucking genius. So fucking great. But that has been a wonderful week, and you'd imagine that's what I'd want to talk about the most. But I have something that I made my fucking year, and I just want to share it. So
All right. This
morning was this Man of Steel fan event that they did for the Blu-ray release. It's coming out this week, I guess, right. Man of Steel on Blu-ray and home video and whatnot. So I talked about it on a previous episode where they asked me to host something, and I flew
out. It was
on
Yahoo, right?
It was on Yahoo live this morning at 9 a.m. on the West Coast, I guess noon on the East. So it was me in a room with Zack Snyder, the director. Amy Adams was there. Henry Cavill, Man of Steel himself, was live via satellite from London, and he was alone on the TV, and all I could think was, like, he's in the Fortress of Solitude, you know?
Yeah.
We can't reach him. He's trapped in the Phantom Zone. They had, like, a pre-taped piece with Michael Shannon, and the whole thing is meant to be kind of like, hey, buy the fucking Blu-ray. But really, because I was there, well, not because I'm not saying because of me, but they were like, look, you come in and fucking talk that silly talk. You talk about how you love movies and shit, because right. I love that movie, and I talked about it before.
Yeah.
So I was there to be essentially fat Chris Hardwick in this instance.
Sure.
Basically.
Hey, that's an idea for a show. Let's sell that.
Totally.
Fat Nerdist.
No, don't call it that, man. Don't call it Fat Chris Hardwick.
All right.
And everybody will be like, he's on like 19 shows, but I like the fat version.
Yeah. He's funnier since he gained some weight.
So basically, it's kind of like a Talking Dead for Man of Steel kind of thing. And we're just answering questions from the audience. They submitted video questions and Twitter questions. And, you know, going in, they were just like, hey, there's going to be some artwork that's been Zach. They were very vague about it. Like, Zach's given some words to some artists, and they're drawing their impressions, so we're going to see some artwork. So there was this thought that, like, holy shit, we're going to see early pieces of artwork for the Batman Superman movie that Zack Snyder's making Man of Steel 2.
Right.
Wonderful paintings, but more impressionistic, not really about the movie itself.
Not actual designs or anything.
Not at all. So, you know, there were some cats on Twitter who were like, fuck you, fat man. Like, I had anything to do with it.
Fuck you, fat Chris Hardwick.
Oh, I lost him just like that. Like, we want thin Chris Hardwick back. He's reliable. So when I showed up, they were like, what are you going to wear? I said, a jersey. I always wear a jersey and stuff. I said, but I got a blank. And so you can put, like, Superman logo on it if you want and shit. Uh-huh. And they were like, oh, totally. So I thought they'd just put a crest like this on my shirt. When I got there, they handed me this fucking shirt, one of my jerseys back. And on it is the Superman emblem, but it's that, like, basketball looking material, like that Spider-Man suit's made of, and that
rubberized
and that Superman
kind of thing.
Yeah, and I'm touching it and shit. Dude behind me is just like, Eric Matthews, great guy. He goes, you know what that is, don't you? And I was like, yeah, it's a Superman crest, man. That stands for hope.
Yeah. Or for hobo.
And he goes, that's from one of the actual suits.
Shut up.
I said, what? And he goes, we sent the jersey to the costume folks because we couldn't, like, create an emblem, like a Stitch one, this quickly. So we were like, do you guys have a spare? They're like, yeah, we made a bunch of suits, so we'll take one of the S's off the spares.
Holy shit. They let you keep it?
Yes.
What? No way.
Dude, I'm never going to wear it again. And they were like, you might not want to wash it. And I was like, why? They're like, well, because it's kind of affixed down there. This material is not meant to be washed.
Yeah. On Krypton, washing machines are our kryptonite.
That's what destroyed Krypton, washing machines. I think I'm going to hang it in the stash like a jersey, retire it, just hang it up at my store, the secret stash back in New Jersey. But it's really sweet. And the emblem apparently is like from one, I was like, what is it, kind of stunt guy costume? I'm like, no, it's from one of Henry's. And I was like, ugh!
A hero emblem.
I was like, Henry Cavill sweated in this.
Oh. See, now you had to go and ruin it.
Now, you would think that was the fucking highlight.
Before you move on.
Yes.
Two words.
Yes.
E fucking Bay. That's all I got to say for you.
You could
finance all of Tusk with just the right number of...
And
bids.
Warner Brothers will never figure it out.
No, they'll never know.
They're like, who's selling a 10XL jersey with a Man of Steel logo?
Could be anybody.
Now, you would think that was the fucking highlight of the thing. Man.
I would,
and
yes.
It was very, very cool. But I knew Zach, so that's very cool. And that's why I came out to do it. I like Zach. I dig him as a filmmaker and shit. Amy Adams is going to be there, so I was like, oh, that'll be cool.
She's pretty adorable.
Yeah, and I love Junebug and stuff, so I just wanted to stare at her. And also, you know, just kind of, I was a big fan, so it was nice to just be there waving the pom-poms and shit like that. But in the back of my mind, of course, I was always thinking, like, maybe they're going to drop some fucking news. Because they talked about that. They're like, we might have casting news by this point to announce. And I was like, maybe somebody will drop by. Like, so I was like, I like the audience. I, too, was just like, what's going to happen? We're going to get some new news. And we got no new news whatsoever.
Yeah. Were you angry at yourself like the Twitter audience was with you?
Oh, Twitter was just like, Kevin Smith ruined it again. You know, and... It was like it had nothing to do with it. I was the moderator and shit like that. But so it was a fun show. You can watch it on Yahoo. They clipped up the best stuff, put it together, so you don't have to watch everything. And there's some cool stuff in there. Zach told some really cool stories. I gave him a chance to talk about like two things. I was like, look, we all want to know in the trailer and at the end of the movie when Superman, little boy Superman's running around in a cape, who the fuck's he pretending to be?
Right. Because there's nobody up to that
and
point who
it
wears
shattered
one of those.
Even his mind. He was like.
No, shit that should not be.
He gave a very eloquent response. You can see it at the clip on yahoo.com. And the other thing he talked about, I said, like, a lot of people give you shit about the buildings coming down, how many people died in Metropolis, fictional people.
Right.
And he was like, well, you know, it's not great to joke about, you know, death like this. He's going, but that was the intent. And he gave a very eloquent response to that question about why there is so much destruction and how it
because Superman's a really shitty hero.
No.
Was that the response?
No, not at all.
Turns out our Superman is not very good at his job, Kevin, and that's why millions died.
Cut to me a mere few hours ago talking to Zack Snyder going, there's a guy you got to put in this movie, man, Ralph Garman. So you can go watch the clip and all the stuff we did. It's fun. Give it a shot. But this is the part that fucking made my ear. So it's all done and shit. And on the show, you know, we're not really talking about Man of Steel 2. They were like, we don't have any information we want to release. Please don't lead us down the path. Because on Twitter, I was like, I'm going to fucking sit on Zack Snyder until he coughs up details. Right. You know? Zack Snyder, when I saw him, he was like, I saw your Twitter, man. He's going, you know I work out, right? I knew going in there was none of that and stuff. We're all done. Everyone's saying goodbye and whatnot. And Zack is just, he's heading off to where they're making the flick. And we chit-chat about that. And he goes, come here. Let me show you something. He took out his dick.
Oh, no way. Did it have an S on it?
Oh, yeah. And I said, that stands for hope. I hope I can get it in my mouth. This is why I won't be asked to do the next Superman fan event.
It looks like that crystal they stuck in the ship before he left.
Here's what he pulls me to the side and he shows me, he pulls out his iPhone, man, as if it was going to be like, look at this picture of my kids.
Right.
And he showed me something that just, I'm not kidding. I went glassy eyed and not because I was baked.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely glassy eyed. I went weak in the knees and shit, and it made me happy in such a way that nothing that I'm not involved with or something has made me feel in a long fucking time. I saw the Batman costume.
Shut up. Ben Affleck's costume?
More than that, I saw a picture of him in the costume.
No way!
Now, I'm...
Was he crying? Because he cries a lot, that guy. So a lot of tears come out of him.
No, he was counting a pile of money, dude.
He was dabbing his eyes with hundreds.
Now, I don't want to give anything away because that's up to them and stuff.
Right,
but
so let's put the picture up now of that costume. Oh, wait a minute, I don't think we have that picture.
But I'm going to say this, man. I instantly bear hugged him. It is, you have not seen...
Probably not the reaction he wanted, I might add.
He was happy with that. You have not seen this costume in a movie on film before. Yeah. It is, and for a comic book fan, it was mind-bending. I was like, get the fuck out of here. Only you have enough power to pull this off, man. Because everyone always like does this fucking Matrix-y kind of slash X-Men.
Black armor black thing, locked in, rivets.
This is
nipples sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
There wasn't a single nipple
on
this fucking suit, man.
Well, that's promising.
It was fantastic. I'm telling you, as a geek, I was just like, so they're going to, who knows?
Sure, there wasn't a heart attack.
Yes. I was like, this is giving me a heart attack. He's like, it might be the donut. So I was like, all right. I've already, of course, a flag waver for the movie, but the costume, it blew my mind. I'm
that
so fucking
cool.
Happy. I think even you will be happy. I think everyone is just going to be like, holy shit. It's its own thing, man. It's like, we haven't been down this path at all. Oh, I was so elated. As happy as I was for that movie, as excited as I was, knowing a guy in a suit helps, but whether I knew that dude or not, as excited as I was like a child, dude. I wanted to see Batman and Superman together on the big screen since there was a Batman TV show with Adam West, a Superman movie with Christopher Reeve. I was like, why? Why can't they meet and fuck? I didn't say that. But
no.
I was like, why?
But you were thinking it.
It was in my deep black heart.
That's right.
But this, seeing that image, dude, like, instantly, it was like that moment in Ratatouille when, like, the dude, the critic, eats the fucking Ratatouille. And it goes racing, like, back to his childhood.
Right.
And I was a fat little kid watching Batman holding Amigo Superman doll against the screen and trying to make
to
it happen.
Force them together. With a Chips Ahoy in the other hand. Crying while you nibbled at it.
It's pretty damn spellbinding. I was so fucking happy. I think even the hardest core, like, fuck all this, person is going to be like, all right, I'm ready.
That's very exciting.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I don't know. I thought that was kind of cool. I wish I had an image to show you. I took a picture with my mind. You know, I kept like, he kept pulling it away, going like, it's cool, right? I was like, yeah, hold on.
I need to memorize this.
Trying to spread it open and pour over every detail and stuff. It was real. That sounds dirty. It was really.
Was that Zach or the picture?
Oh, both. I didn't care, man. After he showed me that picture.
Draw it, Kevin. This guy said.
I wish I could, man. But you know who could? I don't want to. There's a very influence to it, I would say.
That's it.
That's all I want to say. And also, just to fucking put this out there, anytime I say something about this fucking movie, which again, I have nothing to do with, some asshole online is just like, Kevin Smith, that keeps talking about Man of Steel because he knows Ben Affleck, you know? And it's only because generally people ask me questions and I respond to those questions.
Right.
This one I definitely present out there just because I was psyched and geeked to see it and stuff. But I'll pre-write every blogger's piece right now.
Okay.
Because here I am going, like, the suit rocks. And I guarantee every blogger here, just cut and paste this into any piece that follows. Kevin Smith also said that Daredevil was an awesome movie. So take it with a grain of salt.
That's true, coming
from the guy that loved Daredevil. But I'm telling you, fucking, this movie's going to make $2 billion, man. It's going to be amazing.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway, on with the show.
So cool. Little piece of exclusive interview.
Yeah.
Regarding the suit. Last week, we brought back a segment we hadn't done in a while, which was what strain Kevin was smoking on. We were in Philadelphia because I was curious what the local pot was like. And but to kick off the show, I wanted to talk about this email I got from a guy named Sam Boz in London, England. He said, I'm thrilled you guys brought back the What Strain Is Kevin On segment, but that jingle still blows.
Oh my God, there's one dude who's just like, I hate it like cancer. Yeah. I'm here to hate things.
So here's my effort, he writes. Now, I appreciate this. A guy who's going to put up instead of shut up.
Totally.
And he hates the jingle, said, how about this instead? He gives us an option, right? He gives us another avenue.
When our art inspires their art, it's always fun.
He said, I'd be honored if you could find a use for it. Cheers and thanks for all the free giggles. Sam Boz is his name, from London. That's the one in England. And he sent us a new What Strain Is Kevin On jingle. So let's debut it tonight here in Brea. See what it sounds like. Maybe this will be the one that sticks that people won't hate, all right?
Fire away,
James, give us a taste.
That might work, huh?
That should ride for a little while.
Yeah, I think people will dig that.
So with the question having been asked...
Technically it's White Widow, but I'm going to say it's all Zack Snyder. That's what I'm flying on still.
I bet you smoked Zack Snyder.
White Widow, man. A very pungent, saucy little strain.
White Widow.
Yeah. Sounds metal, doesn't it?
Sounds deadly is what it sounds like.
So funny, like the guy smoking White Widow never played third base, always played right left field and shit like that, and I was such a loser.
Of course, each and every show we kick things off with shout-outs for people who came particularly long distances or celebrating special occasions with us here tonight at Hollywood Babylon. James?
It's a shout-out with Kevin and Brown, so get your cock out. Yeah. Get your cock out.
Wow.
Zack Snyder may have that, but I have this.
Yeah.
You were imagining Ben in that suit right now, weren't you, when you had that?
Turgid, absolutely turgid. Hey, man, later on in the show, remind me, because I'll probably forget, we're going to do something with Ralph, because Ralph leaves, what, tomorrow?
Tomorrow morning. I've got a 7 a.m. pickup for the airport for tomorrow.
He flies out to Charlotte, where we're making Tuscan. He does his scene on the movie and stuff.
Yes.
So,
Kevin was kind enough to put me in his film.
He has lines.
I actually have lines this time. Slowly but surely, I'm increasing my presence in Kevin's films. So if Kevin makes movies for another 20, 30 years, I might actually have a big role. That's what I'm guessing. So I have to talk him into keep making movies.
I take so much shit for the Red State role. Like, I put him in Red State, and he's in a lot of movies. He's menacing as fuck. And people are like, you didn't let him talk, you fat jerk. And I was like, fucking leave me alone, Twitter. So next time around, I was like, I'm going to give lines, just shove them in his mouth. We had him scheduled for one role that he couldn't do based on a
scheduling problem.
Pretty much scheduling conflict, and then we wound up getting Harley Morenstein from Epic Mealtime played that role.
Oh, how awesome!
And he was fantastic.
But a real Canadian, which is awesome.
A true Canadian. That was the thing. Ralph was going to open the movie as the Border Patrol agent that Justin's character encounters the moment he steps into Canada.
And I kept telling him, hire a Canadian for that role. People, Canadians are going to look at me doing a bad Canadian accent and say, I hate Kevin Smith, eh? They're going to do that. And so...
Thank God I didn't cast you as a Border Patrol agent. Listen to your Canadian. Take off, Abe.
Now I'm playing another Canadian.
He plays a different Canadian, but not the Border Patrol agent, man. So he's coming up tomorrow to do that. And because everyone on this show, and particularly on Twitter in regards to the show, they give me shit about you not having lines in Red State, I devised this thing. I came up with a bunch of lines that I want Ralph to audition for you all. And then we will pick the best. The one that gets the best reaction is the one that goes into the movie.
Wow.
So you are always in control, Babelmeister. You tell me when we want to do that.
All right. Okay,
so you can warm
enough.
Up and shit.
Let's hit some shout-outs first and talk to some people,
please.
Shall we? Before we get to the people in the room tonight, a rare shout-out for someone who is not here, and I don't even know who this person is, but I saw this on YouTube this week, and I was so appreciative. I wanted to give him a shout-out. On YouTube, his YouTube name is Serious Mash. And what this guy did was, past couple weeks, Kevin and I have been doing these duets, musical duets as Adam West and Bane. We've done I've Got You, Babe. We did Summer Nights from Summer Lovin' from Greece. Last week in Philadelphia, we did Don't Go Breakin' My Heart by Kiki D and Elton John. And so this guy, Serious Mash, on YouTube, took the audio from that and made a video pulling footage of Adam West singing on stage in some bad variety show from the 60s, and Bane from Dark Knight. And
Rises.
Mashed them together with our audio underneath it. You can go on YouTube and find the whole thing, but I just wanted to play a little taste for you tonight during his shout-out because I was really impressed by the work that he did. So here's a little taste of the video of Adam West and Bane singing together.
Don't go breaking my heart.
I couldn't if I tried.
Oh, honey, if I get restless.
Baby, you're not that kind.
Don't go breaking my spine.
You take the weight off of me.
Oh, honey, when you knock on my door,
I give you my anal key.
You can see the rest of the video on YouTube. But
that's awesome.
I thought that deserved a little acknowledgement.
Good.
He worked hard on that and made me laugh. So there you go. As for folks who are here tonight, how about Julia and Regina Love and Suarez? Are you guys here tonight?
All right.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen so many girls in one place for me ever. Man.
I know, really.
Usually it's a bunch of dudes going, yeah.
This email is from Suarez to Julia and Regina Love, twins who are celebrating their birthday tonight.
That sounds erotic.
Yeah, it's just...
Kevin. What?
I kissed you at Comic-Con.
You kissed me?
Shut the fuck up! His wife is here!
You were Rogue then!
I was Logan!
Where did I kiss you at Comic-Con? Or is that a code name?
On the ass?
Yeah. Where did we kiss? Where was this?
I said I missed
you. Oh, I missed you at Comic-Con. Oh.
She's like, I would never kiss your fat ass.
She missed you at Comic-Con like every other woman at Comic-Con. I'm not going to that panel.
It's filled with dudes.
Suarez writes... Okay, now shut up. Suarez writes, I'd like to take a minute and wish a very, very happy birthday to not one, but two beyond amazing and kick-ass chicks, Julia and Regina Love, a.k.a. the Love Twins.
Yeah, but it's tough. I love, yes, but when you throw in twins, you're like, Love Twins? You know, it's just...
What?
Yeah.
I was never Twins is the ultimate goal, sir.
No, that never felt right to me, man, because they're related and shit like that.
You know what they're not related to? My cock. But I would like to create a very close personal relationship there.
You're such a fucking horrible human being, dude.
Jesus Christ, grow a pair, will you? Suarez continues. Suarez is in quotes, too, by the way. Is that like your prison name or something? Or is that your real name? I understand. It's your last name. Why is it in quotes like it's a nickname or a code name or something? Suarez. Makes it sound like you're the FBI most wanted list or something. He's a national terrorist. We only know him as Suarez. I've known these ladies since 1986. Went through one of the human...
96.
What did I say?
86.
Oh, 96, sorry. Went through one of the human versions of hell in all-girls Catholic high school.
Now, that
the love
erotic.
Twins.
Yeah.
The love twins at an all-girls school.
That, to me, is more erotic than love twins. All-girl Catholic high school, because they're not related to each other.
Yeah. And this is weird, but you guys went to high school with my assistant, Gabby. Gabby, they went with... You went to Rosary, right? Rosary High School. Which Gabby informs me was nicknamed Hosiery. Is that true? I can't understand a fucking word you're saying, ladies, I promise you. Because all you know what it sounds like up here? But I appreciate the enthusiasm. So we're celebrating their birthday. Suarez goes on for about a page and a half about how great these girls are.
Does this letter conclude with, so can you shit on their birthday, Ralph?
No, it says, Ralph, could you ask them how they would like to be wished a happy birthday in one of your voices?
Oh. Right on, man.
Germans? Hold on a second. Edwin? Okay, fine, we'll do that. Yeah. Oh my goodness, don't you know? Happy birthday to you girls from the hosiery. Speaking for men everywhere, once you got out of high school, thank you, and our penises thank you as well. Catholic school girls, man. Once they take the chain off, forget about it.
What do you mean, take the chain off? What's the chain?
All girls.
I thought you could be like, all women have a chain.
No. And all girls Catholic high school?
Yeah, yeah.
You know how much pent-up fucking juices there are at that stage? They've been penisless for 4 years, just burgeoning young womanhood, just bursting at the seams, waiting just to ravage. So once they get the chance, it's game on.
Your erotic reading of that scenario, quickly followed by that lizard-like, I felt it move just a little bit.
Glad to hear it. Anyway, happy birthday, girls. Thank you so much for coming out. Heather Rose and your husband... I don't see your husband's name in here. What's your husband's name?
Josh.
You neglected to mention him in your email. On your anniversary. Heather Rose writes, so glad you guys came to Brea. My husband and I got tickets to celebrate our 7th wedding anniversary. Congratulations.
Oh, right on, man.
Could you say congrats to my husband because his wife is just so amazing? Heather writes... So amazing that she forgot to include your name in the email, Josh. I am sorry to say that tonight he may not put his fork in my garbage disposal, she writes.
Well, when you call it a fork, who would ever want it there?
Or a garbage disposal, for that matter.
That was dirty and hot.
So, Josh, your wife is... let's give you a little Huelhauser, since she's... Josh, your wife is amazing. She really is. Have you ever seen her eat an avocado? It's amazing. But she doesn't remember your name.
Karen and Nestor. Are you guys here tonight? Yeah. Karen and Nestor. I'll tell you, the shout-out people get close to the stage.
I know, but I can see him. So rarely can you see him. And I was looking for the ears, man.
He's not a donkey.
That's the only time I've ever heard that name. Nestor, the long-eared donkey. He was Jesus' pet donkey, man.
A little-known fact in the Bible that Jesus had a pet donkey.
It was like how Michael Jackson had a monkey for a while.
That's right.
Jesus had a donkey.
Yeah. I always think of the actor, Nestor Carbonell. Is that his name, Carbonell?
Oh, yeah, a real person.
Yeah. Who always looks like he has eyeliner on, even when he doesn't. That guy from Lost.
Yeah.
He's in Bates Motel now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, good-looking film.
Do you watch that show?
I love Bates Motel.
Is it really good?
Yeah, I really enjoy it.
Now, please explain it to me. Is it period? Is it set now or then?
It's present day.
But then how is it? It doesn't tie into Psycho at all?
Well, it does, but it's like a prequel. It's like how Norman got fucked up with his mom when she was still alive. And they, spoilers. And when they were living together at the Bates Motel. It was when they first take over the motel, what happens.
But it's set in the present.
Yes.
But that movie was set in the 60s.
Yes, Kevin. Consider it a reboot, if you will.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
In geek speak, it's a retcon.
Now you got me. I got it.
Okay. Karen writes, I'll be attending tonight's show with my wonderful boyfriend, Nestor. He turned me on to the show some time ago, and now we listen to it everywhere we go.
Oh, that's adorable, man. Really? You listen to the show together? Does it turn you on at all?
Stop it.
The sexy voice does.
The sexy voice does.
Does it?
Tonight is his birthday, and he has no idea we're coming to the show.
Oh, right on.
Were you surprised, Nestor? Were you surprised?
For a little while, yeah.
Until you got here and we got on stage, and then then all of a sudden you weren't surprised anymore?
Then I was disappointed.
Karen says, can the Germans please wish him a happy birthday? And let him know there are more surprises to come tonight.
Oh.
Yeah, more surprises for you, Nesta, yeah.
Yeah, you could stick the fork in the garbage disposal.
Yeah, that's for you tonight to have. Many surprises for you, yeah. A big train will pull up and you'll get into a boxcar.
No, she's going to eat the Wiener Schnitzel.
Oh, the Wiener Schnitzel.
And schnitzel all over her face and neck and chest. And he licks it up and she says, get go, I want to go again.
That's a better surprise than what I was had in mind.
Yeah.
I was thinking surprise like how Poland was surprised when the Fuhrer went marching in. They're like, oh, what is this? Guys in nice suits and boots. Hands up.
But nobody wants invasion for the birthday. They want a blowjob.
Yeah, unless it's invasion in the garbage disposal.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Nestor.
Good
Thanks
job.
For coming out tonight. Brian, Ricky, and Ryan. Are you guys here? Ryan Lascotti and Brian and Ricky. Ryan writes, I'm here with my friends Brian and Ricky. This is our second show for Brian and I, the first for Ricky. The first taping was my introduction to the podcast, and I've loved it ever since. It was such a good time, we wanted to come back as soon as possible. Can I get a shout-out for Ricky? He and his wife are expecting their first child.
Aww.
Congratulations, Ricky. Once you have a child, Ricky, it's time to change your name to Rick. Ricky, what are you, fucking eight? Ricky. Unless you're married to Lucille Ball, you really shouldn't be Ricky at any stage as an adult male.
Just like I was feeling good about having a kid, and now I feel old.
Ricky. Does Sylvester Stallone have any fatherly advice to give Ricky? I love the show. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, I'll tell you something, Ricky, all right? Ricky is not a man's name, all right? Rocky, on the other hand, that's the man's name. Because I was trying to be, you know, I want to make a character, you know, he's a fighter, and he's like a little tough, and I'll fight, I'll fight the big fight. And I said, oh, Ricky Balboa. And I said, no, Ricky sounds gay. But Rocky is, you know, is a man's name, you know. So I'm saying if you're going to have a child and everything, maybe you should change your name to Rock. E. Or as your son or daughter, whatever the child's going to be. I don't know if you know it yet because you don't have X-ray vision. You know, that child could grow up to be greedy and lazy.
Congratulations, Ricky. Livia, Nina, and Luca. Are you guys here? Wow. A little too close for comfort.
Which one is Luca? You live on the second floor? Thank you, James.
DJ James is here. But...
Luca writes, my sister Livia and her friend Nina and myself are flying out from Switzerland to see you guys.
The fuck out of here, man.
Wow. You look very neutral, all of you.
That's the land of chocolates.
You have no idea. They brought us a giant case of Swiss chocolates as
a
gift.
Did you really?
Yes.
Where are they?
They're backstage.
Can we get them up here?
No, we can't. Luca writes, got into Hollywood Babylon about 2 years ago, been listening ever since. Livia and Nina, however, have no clue what's in store for them.
Do you speak English?
Cuckoo clock is good.
Yay, America.
Yeah. We enjoy the Alps.
And your cocoa.
Yes.
That's the international sign language where we enjoy a cocoa or something.
Thought you were Augustus Gloop there for a second. Uh-oh.
Augustus fell in.
You get nothing, sir. Good day, sir. You tainted my chocolate river.
Augustus paid for me.
There's no earthly way of knowing which direction we are going.
These poor chicks are like, we're never coming back to America.
What is the show? What is this?
What is the Swiss accent? Can we hear it? Here, say something.
What shall I say?
Say the quick... did you see The Dark Knight Rises?
No.
What was the last movie you saw?
I don't know.
Jackass, Bad Grandpa.
Jackass, Bad Grandpa.
Bad Grandpa. Okay, give me a brief review of Jackass, Bad Grandpa.
How did you like the film?
It was quite nice.
You got to go on a long run so we can hear the whole accent.
Well, it's about Grandpa. He's like a pedophile.
So much for neutral.
But give it up. She made it sound sweet and harmless.
He's about the grandpa, and he's a pedophile.
But this is okay. Is this okay?
It's nice.
We do not judge in Switzerland.
He gives the little boy chocolate. He smears it on his penis.
But this is okay. This is okay. We do not judge.
Luca adds, they have no store. They have no clue what's in store for them. I guess they'd expect that, did you? So if Kevin could use his sexy voice, and his good pal Al Pacino could fill them in on what to expect, that'd be awesome. Also, he says, as promised, the Swiss chocolates have been delivered. Wasn't sure what you guys would like, so I got you the biggest case I could. And it looks like a suitcase full of chocolate. It really is. So Luca, thank you very much. Luca Kunz.
Oh my lord.
Luca Kunz. Kunz is his name.
Really?
And he says, please don't make fun of the last name, Kunz.
How do you pronounce it?
Kunz. Kunz. I like cunts better.
Big face full of cunts.
Big face full of cunts. So Sexy Kevin and then Al Pacino are going to welcome them to the show.
Hello, ladies. I speak the international language. I gotta tell you, I love chocolate. And that chocolate you brought, it's the best. And every time I eat it, I'm gonna think of you, Luca. I'm gonna say, This chocolate tastes like cunts.
That's good. And lastly, Nathan Gonzalez. Are you in the house, Nathan? Apparently he's here with Alex and Emily and Liz, all here to celebrate your 19th birthday.
Are you allowed to be in a place?
Can you be in here? Security? it'll be my fourth time seeing the show live, writes Nathan.
Right on.
Yet I still haven't gotten a shout-out read. I'm about overdue, am I not? Fuck you. It's not a right.
Yeah, it's a privilege, man.
So happens, my friends happen to be HBO virgins, so make the show as dirty as possible. Well, we're certainly trying. Thank you. If you could sing me happy birthday as David Bowie, I'd be the happiest of campers, writes Nathan. Well, since you've been here four times, for God's sake, the least we could do. James, give me a little Bowie, shall you?
Happy birthday to you, Nathan. Happy birthday, Nathan Gonzalez. You seem a little entitled by asking for a shout out, but we're all happy to do it because you're 19 today. That still means you can cocktail. How frustrating to be in a room full of drunkards. Happy birthday to you, Nathan. Happy birthday, Nathan Gonzalez. Happy birthday to you, Nathan. We're so happy that you're with us. Happy birthday, Nathan Gonzalez. Happy birthday to you, Nathan. Happy birthday to you, Nathan.
Happy birthday, sir.
I drink in your honor.
So weird. Not 18 hours ago, I was on a set telling people to do.
Yeah.
18 hours later, I'm trying to suck my own tit on
right.
stage.
If they could see this, they'd never listen to you again.
They wouldn't jack shit for me, man. They're like, we're behind him. Fuck this. This is going to be another cop-out. I know it.
We also get emails from all around the world.
Ain't no drag.
Garmin's got an email.
Featuring Kevin's reactions.
This email is from Mike and Mel in Toronto, Canada,
Right on.
I'm reporting to you that after a recent trip to the Disney store in Toronto, my friend Mel and I heard the classic Mana Mana song come on their television, and we immediately burst out laughing. Mm. We have done Mana Mana from time here, time to time on the Babylon show. Could I request to you that Lucius the Stuttering Pimp sing the Mana Mana song? Thanks so much. We love you, Mike and Mel from Toronto. Please help us out. Our city is now known for having a fucking crackhead mayor. They have a point. So out of sympathy for them and their troubles in Toronto, I will sing, for those of you who don't know who Lucius the Stuttering Pimp is, R. Kelly, the R&B singer, has a multi-chaptered opus known as Trapped in the Closet, where he plays all the different characters. And one of the characters, recurring characters, in this R&B opera, in this rap opera, is Lucius, who is a pimp, but he also happens to stutter. And they're asking for Mana Mana from a guy that stutters. This should be fun. Can we have a little Mana Mana, James? Christopher from Tustin, California writes,
Tustin!
This is like a John Wilkes Booth thing. Tuck skin or die!
Thought you should be aware that Bieber is now contaminating our beloved comic book superheroes. Someone please stop this Canadian cunt, writes Christopher. Apparently he ran across a t-shirt featuring the Avengers the other day and he felt it was a little too Bieber influenced. Can we throw up the photo that he sent of us of the t-shirt? Can't stop our swag.
Oh.
And the swag has the Avengers A in it, spelling out swag.
Yeah, that's a Marvel lost a few cool points on that one.
A few, to say the least. Speaking of Bieber, Chris Sanchez from Sydney, Australia writes, while in New York recently, I took care of some business for Hollywood Babylon and the Garmy. Thanks heaps for the free funny. Apparently, Chris spent some time in a wax museum while he was in New York City, and he sent us the following picture.
If you didn't know who Justin Bieber was, that looks like scary.
It looks like murder.
That looks like not sweet, like your kind of pedophile in Switzerland.
Looks like a bad
scary
pedophile.
American pedophile. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't look like that much like Bieber, really, when you look at him, but it's close enough for my money. Looks like Kevin Bacon, is that what you said? This is a great email from Graham, formerly of Edinburgh, Scotland, currently now living in Melbourne, Australia. He writes, I've heard Kevin mention the excellent British film magazine Empire before.
Yeah,
I love that magazine.
Love Empire. It's a great magazine.
Remember Premiere? Premiere used to be a thing in the States until it went away. But it's
Entertainment Weekly kind of killed Premiere.
Yeah, I guess so. But Empire's a real great film magazine if you like it. I think you can get it subscribed to it here in the States. They'll mail it to you. They also do a podcast every week. He said recently on their podcast, number 84, they interviewed Harrison Ford.
Oh, get out of here. He did the podcast rounds, man. I heard he was on Nerdist as well. Yeah.
I guess he's selling Ender's Game, I guess.
It was from last week.
He is asked about Star Wars during this interview and gives an answer that could easily pass for one of Ralph's impressions of him. I'll let you listen and be the judge. Thanks for all the free funny, Graham. Here's an actual piece of audio we lifted from the podcast from the Empire Film Magazine over there in the UK. Harrison Ford being asked about Star Wars.
I'm sorry, we're going to have to ask about Star Wars. Has there been any movement? Is there any, you know, date that you think things will be announced and things will move forward that you've heard of? Well, I think that makes everything clear.
That was his response to the question. That was his response to the question. Hand to God, that's how he responded.
Untouched?
Untouched.
Weird.
Yeah. Maybe he heard me. Maybe,
yeah, really. Maybe he's like, I can get away with not saying anything.
If I'm going to say the same thing, I'm not going to tell me the same thing. I don't want to say about it. Fucking Chewbacca.
And our last email of the week, this is from Candace Anton in Chicago, Illinois. Loving the Adam West and Bane duets. I think they are the greatest wholesome entertainment duo since Donnie and Marie, she writes.
Oh no, I know where this is going.
With Donnie and Marie's classic TV show in mind, could we hear them perform their signature tune, I'm a Little Bit Country, I'm a Little Bit Rock and Roll? Candace Anton. Well, I took the liberty of printing out the lyrics, sir, if you don't mind. So this is another in the ongoing series of Bane and Adam West
Hold
duets.
On, I gotta find him. No, they'll be looking for the... No, they'll be expecting one of us in the wreckage, brother. I'm ready.
Are we good now?
The fire rises. Go.
All right, James, if you can hit us with this, we'll do our best. I'm a little bit country.
And I'm a little bit rock and roll.
With a little bit of Memphis and Nashville.
With a little bit of Motown in my soul.
I don't know if it's good or bad.
But I know I love it so.
I'm a little bit country.
And I'm a little bit Kunz chocolate.
There you go. There's this week's duet. Each and every week, we like to take a look at some people in show business and entertainment who have left us this week and left behind a big body of work. We tribute them in a segment we call the Tinseltown Stiffs.
And now, another edition of
Tinseltown Stiffs.
They will be missed.
This week, a little bit of my childhood died.
Yeah, this is a sad one.
One of the legendary comic book artists of the Golden and Silver Age, for any of you comic book fans out there, a guy named Nick Carty passed away this week at the age of 93. Nick got into comic books at the age of 18, started working in 1939, which was sort of like the big blow-up year for comic books with Superman and Batman and whatnot. In 1950, started working with DC Comics, did a couple titles for them. But in the 60s is really when he hit his stride. He was best known for drawing Aquaman and the Teen Titans, mm-hmm. the original lineup of the Teen Titans. He drew Aquaman, all of his covers through every issue in the 60s of when he was a star of his own book the first time around. And then the Teen Titans, he drew them for Brave and Bold and then Showcase. And then when they got their own title in the late 60s, he drew and inked every issue of that title for the first time around that they did it. In the 70s, he did almost all the covers for DC, Superman, Batman, World's Finest, all that stuff. He was a big artist, and I remember when I would go look for back issues as a kid, as a comic book collector, when I ran across a Nick Carty, how jazzed I was because I loved his work. And at 93, he passed away this week after a long time.
Bucket of wind. Long life, man.
Indeed.
We got an image?
This is one of his most famous covers. This is from the Teen Titans when Wonder Girl got her new costume when she debuted her new costume. He did the cover for that, and great piece of art. He made Wonder Girl fuckable. I wanted to do her before the old Wonder Girl when she had the ponytail.
When she was 12.
No, man. Look, you could grab hold of that ponytail, is what I'm saying. But that form-fitting jumpsuit there, she rocked that for a long time.
They're the fucking Teen Titans, dude.
Yeah, 18's a teen, man. You don't know. You don't know, man.
Everybody's got to go in this life, unfortunately. They don't let you stick around forever. But to lose a guy like that who fed so many imaginations.
Yeah.
Like when you think of a cover artist, this is a person who's given the script for the issue long before it's been drawn. And they have to come up with an impression of what the whole story is, something that will also sell the book. So in many ways, they're the doorway to adventure for a lot. That cover, man, that's what gets you into a book, gets you reading on a regular basis. And he did those covers, such striking images that would pull you in each and every time. It's sad when somebody who gave so much just has to go. Unfortunately, it happens. Big bucket of wind.
And another sad passing this week. The original drummer for Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, a guy named Lee Crystal, passed away this week. He was the drummer for Joan Jett from 1981 to 1986. So that was really in her prime during all of her biggest hits.
Like I Love Rock and Roll.
He plays the drums on I Love Rock and Roll, on Crimson and Clover, Everyday People. I mean, I was a huge fan of that band back in the day. And his drum beat I always thought was just so steady, but also sort of punk rock and energetic and out there. But the guy had a lot of talent as well. Passed away this week after succumbing to multiple sclerosis, which is a fucking horrible disease. Mm. He had left the band, as I mentioned, at the end of the 80s. Was teaching drum lessons in Jersey when he was diagnosed. Had to stop because his body started to fail him. But I always thought that his most striking work was on a Joan Jett song called Bad Reputation. If you remember the show Freaks and Geeks, it was the theme song for that. And I thought I'd play a little taste of that just to remind you how good Lee Crystal was. Listen to the great backbeat for this song. It's called Bad Reputation.
It's funny how you bop your head like a fucking 50s DJ, man. It's like a scene out of Happy Days where they're like, now the band's going to play.
I'm a former drummer myself, so
really?
I...
Really?
Yeah.
So you're keeping time in your head?
Yeah, I got the rhythm in me, man.
Is that what it is?
It's either that or a lot of Swiss chocolate. I'm not sure. Either way.
I hate to interrupt this awesome Smodco podcast, but somebody got to pay the fucking bill. Somebody got to have the balls to be like, give us money. So here we go, man. Some ads. And then we'll get back into the show.
Hey, boys and girls, it's your old Babbel pal, Ralph. So maybe you've got a great idea for a business and you want to start selling your products online or your services online. Maybe you've established your business already and you're looking for new customers. Or maybe you're interested in starting a personal website. No matter who you are, GoDaddy wants to help you kick ass online. Right now, GoDaddy is offering .com domains for just $1.99. You cannot beat that price. It's go time to start your website today. Visit GoDaddy.com. enter the promo code Babbel to get your $1.99.com. Some limitations apply. See the website for details.
Every week, we also like to say thanks to some showbiz types who go out of their way to get out of the way of their own egos and give something back to the community at large. They're called our Hollywood helpers.
Ooh-wah, ooh-wah.
More margaritas.
Ooh-wah, ooh-wah.
Hollywood helper. Hollywood helper.
Ooh-wah, ooh-wah.
Hollywood helper.
Come on now.
Hollywood, Hollywood helper.
This week's Hollywood helper is actor Gary Sinise. You may know him from...
Lieutenant Dan.
Lieutenant Dan.
You got magic legs, Lieutenant Dan.
You may know him from CSI New York. He was the star of that
that's
series.
Something a little more current.
A little more recent, yes. But yes, he did play Lieutenant Dan, of course, in Forrest Gump. What happened, sir? Apollo 13, that's right,
well.
Yes.
Let's all shout out a Gary Sinise title.
Let's read his IMDb page out loud, shall we? The Stand. Okay, good. We were kidding.
You were really angry for a second.
A little bit. A little bit.
I know Real Ralph, and Real Ralph poked his head out to be like, shut the fuck up.
Got a lot of show. Got a lot of show. He has the Lieutenant Dan Band that he takes around the country. It's a rock and roll band. They do mostly covers, but...
I was trying to give you the fucking sense of wonderment, man.
Just... You gave it, all right? And they raise money for wounded veterans, basically. That's what he does.
Stop it.
I cannot look at you for the rest of the night.
He gets the magic legs is what he does.
He doesn't give them magic legs, no.
Isn't that what it sounds like to me? It sounds like they're working for some... injured vets, no?
They are, but they don't get magic legs. What he likes to do
is... In
that
movie, those legs really were magic.
I understand the reference. What I'm saying is, they don't get magic legs.
Okay.
What he likes to do is raise money for these vets and give them what they call smart houses, smart homes, which is all of the controls in the home, the heating and the air conditioning and the lights and even the doors are all remote control, worked via either an iPad or an iPhone or something.
Okay.
So... these guys who are disabled don't have to work too hard to make their house work.
That's fucking sweet.
He did it this week in a town called Munford, Tennessee.
Okay.
And he did it for a corporal, Christian Brown of Munford. He lost both of his legs when he stepped on an improvised explosive device while deployed in Afghanistan. And so Sinise and Lieutenant Dan Band put on a benefit for his honor and raised a bunch of money. Now they're going to build him a house that is magic.
That fucking rocks,
yeah,
man.
It's a very cool thing to do. Sinise said, if you're going to put on that uniform, you're going to get hurt. I believe all the citizens who benefit from that freedom should rally around them and do whatever we can to support them. So it's a very cool thing to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you've never seen he did a movie called Truman. I think it was an HBO movie or something years ago where he played President Harry Truman. He was impeccable.
He's a good actor.
He's an amazing actor. But yeah. Check Truman out. It was really good. I learned a lot because I didn't pay attention in fucking school at all and shit.
Right.
So most of the shit I know through American history, I know through TV movies and shit.
Yeah.
You know JFK was killed by Oliver Stone? We'll talk
about that. Shut up. I knew Lee Harvey didn't work alone.
Yeah, I knew it, right.
Each and every week, we also like to take a look at movies and TV shows that literally hundreds of pairs of eyes, maybe sometimes thousands, they look at this product, and then they deliver it to you, the consumer, and yet, invariably, there are mistakes that still show up. Somebody should have caught these things. We call these things shit that should not be.
And now for shit we should not see. Here's some shit that should not be.
This week's shit that should not be comes from listener Jake Z. He writes, this is a good one for shit that should not be. It's from the end of Major League. You guys familiar with the baseball film Major League? Great feel-good film from 1989.
Corbin Berenson, man.
Corbin Berenson stars in that.
Charlie Sheen.
Tom Berenger. Wesley Snipes. Bob Uecker. Just a bit outside. Remember, he's great in that film. Anyway, this is from the very end of the film where the Cleveland Indians have won whatever fucking game that is they're playing. It's important. But the Cleveland fan base goes nuts, and they storm the field. And once again, this is one of those movies that gets ruined by extras. There's an extra on the field in this scene who is acting his ass off and so desperate to celebrate
And yet, sadly, every one of the other extras must fucking hate this guy. Because no one will high-five him or celebrate with him. So he runs around like an asshole with his arms in the air, just being acknowledged by no one. It's pretty glaring. Someone should have spotted this while they were making this film. We're going to play it for you a couple times and zoom in a little bit. But this is, from Major League, this week's Shit That Should Not Be. This guy right here. We're going to get a little closer for you. This guy. Hey, somebody high-five me. Hey, we won. One more time. Hey, guys. Anybody? Yeah, everyone fucking hated that guy.
That's so sad. That's like a metaphor for my entire fucking professional life, man. Just no, I'll no? be over here.
All right. I'll just stay here in my striped polo shirt. Also, every week, we like to take a look at some A-list actors who sometimes turn in less than A-list performances, and sometimes their acting is so bad, it goes all the way around and becomes exquisite.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
Welcome to the world of exquisite acting with Ralph Garman and Kevin Smith.
This week's exquisite acting comes from Jeff Dominguez. He says, here's some exquisite acting for you. Lex Luthor, Kevin Spacey in the crap fest that is Superman Returns, he writes. We were just talking about a Superman movie. This was Bryan Singer's, of course, attempt to revive Superman's big screen career.
Remember we were all excited when he got cast. We were like, Kevin Spacey as Luthor, this is going to be amazing.
Brandon Ralph looks just like Chris Reeve. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
It was not great. It was less than great. And here's the thing about a guy like Kevin Spacey, who is a very talented actor, obviously, but he can be a little large, very bombastic.
He's from the stage.
Yes, usually. And if you let him play a supervillain and you kind of let him dictate his own terms, there's a chance he'll go off the reservation a little bit. He does that in this scene spectacularly so, exquisitely so. Here is Kevin Spacey as Lex Luthor from Superman Returns.
Please.
Superman will never.
Wrong!
Superman will
never. Wrong!
Superman will
never. Wrong!
Superman will
never. Wrong!
She's going to say Superman will stop you. And he.
It's less out of fucking Superman, more out of Glengarry Glen Ross.
Yeah, know? Really, so, yeah.
Will you go to lunch? Wrong!
Wrong! My favorite segment each and every week is when you, the fine Hollywood Babylon listeners, take my buddy Kevin Smith and through the power and magic of Photoshop, stick him in places he just doesn't belong. Let's see where Kev is in this week.
What's Kev in today? Something crazy or awesome or gay. And by gay we mean homosexual, like maybe some dudes, but what's Kev in?
What's Kev in this week? If you listened to the show last week, you may remember Kevin recounting a story how he fell through a set on Tusk. He was trying to take a picture, and the floor beneath him opened up, and a big hole presented itself, and Kevin fell through. However, he didn't plummet to the ground because you said...
I got wedged like Winnie the Pooh.
He got wedged like Winnie the Pooh did when he was trying to get into Rabbit's house or get out of Rabbit's house, I guess.
Saved by my spare tire, man.
Well, Anders Jacobson from Sweden heard that story and he said he could not resist. Here is the first Kevin for this week.
Oh God, that's sick.
Look at the name above the hole.
Walrus Cave. That's gonna be the sequel to fucking Tusk right there. A man who turns another man into Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, poor Kevin the Pooh is just stuck in that hole right there.
Oh, it's funny.
Kevin the Pooh. You are a Kid Bear, after all.
That's true, yeah. Man.
A listener named Troy Bailey from Curry Curry, Australia, sent in a couple Kevins this week. He wants us to focus on Kevin's modeling career, which we have really have ignored largely over the past 3 years of episodes. You may remember Kevin's striking appearance as a male model on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine alongside Janet Jackson. Do you remember her famous cover? But...
Yeah.
You guys were dating at the time, weren't you?
Totally, man. Yeah. I have my hands on a Rhythm Nation right there.
Yeah. And of course, when Kevin was just a wee lad, he was featured on the cover of the classic Nirvana album, Nevermind. Do you remember that? Chasing a bag of weed.
Why would the baby have a beard?
You tell me, Tiger.
What is
know.
It?
Where's the wiener?
I thought that too when I saw this, and I thought
maybe that's part of the
it's
joke.
It's Kevin. Yeah, it's Kevin. That's why. Maybe that's why it's
more
missing.
Belly than cock.
They did have to recast him eventually with a newborn that had a bigger penis.
And ironically, it was a newborn girl.
See? Each and every week, of course, we look at all the latest.
The hoot.
Woo! Small dicks!
Woo!
Women with penises! Each and every week, we look at all the latest and greatest in entertainment news headlines. They're the HBO headlines. Sit back, relax, and enjoy, ladies and gentlemen, because we got about an hour's worth of Justin Bieber here to get through.
This is going to be fun for me. I've been in production all week, so I have paid no attention to entertainment news.
Bieber has been terrorizing South America. That's all I can tell you. Let me take you through it. But first, let's kick things off.
Justin Bieber. Nobody fucking needs ya.
That's right, Justin Bieber. Let me take you through the past week of Justin Bieber. It reads like a police blotter in terms of what he went through. First of all, he was busted, not busted by the cops, but busted by a prostitute in Panama by having sex with a Panamanian prostitute. She went to the press and told her story. Okay, so he's in Panama. He pays this girl $500.
Hold on a second. Turn the lights down.
Stop it. It's not sexy. Don't listen to him. He'll touch me under the table if you do that. Panamanian prostitute goes to the press and says, here's what happened. I was at a nightclub at 3 a.m. Justin Bieber rolls in with his entourage, picks up 10 of us, and takes them back to the hotel. Apparently, they were dispersed amongst his entourage, but this lucky lady got to be with Justin Bieber.
Swag.
Here's her interview. Swag. Here's her interview. We went back to the hotel where he began kissing my nose and face.
Ooh, that's cute.
It's not cute.
Why? He's being tender. He's from Canada.
He's not an Eskimo. You don't have to kiss noses.
Maybe he's a virgin.
He asked me in English if I wanted all of his semen.
I guess he's not a virgin.
I don't understand English, but my friend was translating, she said.
So he probably didn't say, do you want all my semen?
Everybody said, you want all my swag? Swaggy, swaggy jizz?
He probably said, if somebody's translating, usually when they translate, it's an approximate. So he probably said something like, you want to eat my cock or something, right?
Maybe.
Not like, who walks into a prostitute who's like, would you like to consume my semen?
They had sex for
all of it.
Every last drop, eh? It's like maple syrup, eh?
Here's your double-double.
We had sex for about an hour, she said.
Well, fucking, that's pretty good. I have sex for like 7 minutes max.
Yeah.
And that's if I haven't fucked for a month.
She was asked regarding his penis size and said he didn't have a... Listen to you.
Yeah, that's what I want to know. I think that's what we all want to know, the detail.
She said he didn't have a very big or very small one. I believe it was so-so, medium. I didn't say, whoa.
I have something in common with Justin
Bieber. Yes, you do. She claims I did everything with him. He had me in all the positions.
What? It's a woman back there who's just suddenly learned there's more than one position.
What? It's more than just his hands around my throat. Me bordering on unconscious.
Oh, that's dark.
The reporter asked, where did he orgasm? On my breast, she said.
Oh, check him out, man.
Yeah. He gave her $500 and then returned her and friends to the nightclub. Gave him a ride back to the club. That's nice.
I mean, in terms of like an exchange of money for flesh, fairly polite.
That's just hooker number one this week.
Oh, you got another?
Then Bieber went to a brothel in Brazil. This is after Panama. He's on to Brazil. He's in Rio de Janeiro at a popular whorehouse there called Centauros. The press found out he was there, and so his entourage tried to sneak him out of the building. He's got the worst fucking security team ever. Because if you want to sneak somebody out of a building, you know what you don't do? You don't cover them in a giant white sheet in the middle of the night and try to sneak them into an SUV. Unless you're at a KKK rally, that doesn't work. Here's a photo of them trying to sneak Justin out of the brothel.
Who's the librarian?
This lady here?
Yeah. I'm the Canadian ambassador. Sorry.
We're escorting Justin to the whorehouse. Yeah, they say he was distinguished because of the tattoo he's got around his wrist that they saw in some of the photos, his signature sneakers that he was wearing that they saw in some of the photos, and by the fact that he's Justin fucking Bieber. That's how they identified him. He took two girls with him out of the whorehouse. They were brought to his hotel, and
he had fucking home delivery?
Yes. Well, it was to go. It was to go. He got a to-go order. He said, put that in a paper bag for me. I'll be taking that home. Brought two girls back to his hotel. Now, his entourage, his press people, his reps say that they weren't hookers. They were just fans. Well, one of his fans took a video this week of her leaving him after she fucked him and he was asleep on the
bed. No! Get the fuck out of here, really?
It's a real quick 15-second video, so we'll play it a couple times, but this is the fan in Brazil that he brought out of the whorehouse, because, you know, fans hang in whorehouses. He's asleep on the bed. She's shooting a little souvenir video of herself and Justin. Here's the video.
This is like the fucking Zapruder film.
Yes, it is.
Of celebrity fuck tapes, yes. Man.
Here he is on the bed.
Aww.
With his baseball cap. There's the hooker. There he is again. There she is. Blows him a kiss and she's out the door. Yeah.
Is that what a hooker does?
Blow you a kiss and leave with your money?
It's just
maybe in your case.
That is weird, man. It's weird.
Now, of course, his team rushed a denial out to the press saying she is not a prostitute. Well, unfortunately, they forgot that there's the internet. And so this woman has been tracked down. Her name is Tatiana Neves Barbosa. She is 26 years old, and they may be right, because she is the 2012 Miss Bikini Wellness of Brazil. Miss Bikini Wellness is quite a title. Miss Bikini Wellness. Was that held by a vitamin factory? She's a part-time bodybuilder, part-time actress, part-time go-go dancer, oh wait, and prostitute. Yes, that's the part of the bio that they didn't read. Here's a photo of her. This is her work photo. This photo was put in a magazine, a men's magazine called Private, which is a gentleman's magazine for men who are looking for, let me see what the word is for here, prostitutes, yeah. She was advertising her services in the pages of Private, the magazine, and that's where egotastic.com found all of her information. But by all accounts, she is a prostitute.
So now, but it's not like against the law over there, is it?
I do not believe it is, no. But young girls everywhere are going, ew.
I don't know if they heard the previous report about the nose kissing and shit like that. If I was a young girl, I'd be like, now I want to fuck him even more.
Or now I want to be a prostitute.
And make that math jump.
Then Justin Bieber was reportedly wanted for arrest in Brazil after he sprayed graffiti all over a public building.
I fucked a hooker.
Apparently, Justin Bieber likes to tag buildings. He likes to spray paint graffiti on buildings. And he went to the local authorities and said, I would like to spray paint on a building.
Swag tag.
And they said, okay, you can spray paint this abandoned sports facility, and that's it. We'll give you one wall. Do it. So he got there and said, no, I don't want to do this. And then ended up doing a different building. And the Brazilian authorities were like, fuck.
It doesn't mean you can just spray paint all over our country if you want. You have to pick one place. He didn't, and they were very upset with him. They want to charge him with defacing a building or urban monument by graffiti or other means.
So they gave him a building to tag, and he was like, not good enough. I want to
tag
this.
I'm going to do this. Here's a shot of him spraying graffiti on the building. There he is. He's so hardcore, man. Hey, look. He's wearing his hooker hat. Same hat. And earlier in the week, he was in Colombia, and he also spray-painted a building in Colombia with the words Free Breezy on it. Breezy is his friend Chris Brown, and it was his political statement saying Chris Brown should be let out of jail for having punched that guy in the face. So here he's defending a woman beater with some graffiti in Colombia. Is there anything this guy can do right? Well, he got his comeuppance this week in Sao Paulo. While he was doing his South American tour, he was on stage where he showed up an hour and 20 minutes late to get on stage for everybody who had been waiting for him.
Well, he's got a line of hookers waiting for him.
And a lot of spray paint to do.
Yeah.
He also was charging select fans $1,000 to get a meet and greet with Justin Bieber. He kept those people waiting 3 hours before he showed up. He was on stage in Brazil. There was a Brazilian flag that was thrown up on the stage. He kicked it off the stage, which made some people very unhappy, especially the person who threw the water bottle and hit him in the face.
Whoa.
Bieber was hit in the face with a full water bottle, and the microphone was knocked out of his hands.
No.
Would you like to see his reaction?
Fuck yes.
Let's take a look. We'll show it a couple times.
Oh, shit.
Bieber walked off the stage, never to return. The audience stayed there for half an hour chanting his name, but eventually the lights came up and the Brodies came out and they started packing up the equipment.
I mean, to be fair, we're on stage right now. You wouldn't want to get hit in the face with a fucking bottle of water.
That's true, but I never graffitied in favor of a woman beater before.
I agree.
So
I think that's absolutely
I think if you
repellent.
Spray paint on Chris Brown's behalf, you deserve a water bottle in the face.
I agree. I'm with you.
However, for the record, I have fucked a few hookers, so let's let that be the case. I got crabs from a hooker once. That will put you right off of hookers.
How'd you cook them?
A little seasoning salt in a big pot and
butter.
Speaking of whores, Courtney Stodden, our favorite talentless cunt in the news this week. You remember she was 16 years old. She married the 50-year-old actor Doug Hutchinson, who was in Green Mile, played Percy in that show, was in Lost. They've split up this week after 2 wonderful years of marriage.
Oh,
who could have seen that coming?
Yeah, what a shock that one was.
Apparently it's being blamed on her time on Celebrity Big Brother in the UK. She was on that show, and she was there without her creepy husband. And she said while she was in the UK, she discovered a whole new world. She said, I realized that there's a whole world out there to explore. A whole world of other penises, she wrote. Now, this is the creepiest part of all.
Okay.
Her soon-to-be ex-husband, Doug Hutchinson, said he is 100% behind her still plans to manage her career, and the couple are going to share custody of their dog. Now, their dog, keep in mind, her name is Courtney, his name is Doug. You want to know what they called their dog? Dortney. Their Doug Dortney will split time between the two of them, shared custody. He's gonna manage her career while she's out banging other guys?
Yeah.
That means he gets to watch while they film the porn, right? I mean, that's all that means.
Never mind that, dude. That's not the disturbing part of the story. Dortney?
Dortney, I know.
What do you call a dog Dortney for sure? Like, come here, Dortney.
Dort.
Yeah,
Dort.
Like, there's no fun appellation for that.
No, there isn't. While we're talking about whores and prostitutes, it's Kim Kardashian news time.
Kim Kardashian, who gives a fuck?
Kim's little sister, Kendall Jenner, just turned 18 years old this week.
Oh, what the fuck?
Wow. I mean, I'm sure you're right, but to say that in public. She may be going into the family business, and by family business, of course, I mean fuck tapes. It was reported this week that 6 different companies on her 18th birthday offered her multi-million dollar deals to do porn. One dangled $1.8 million in front of her, saying she could do the nasty with any partner of her choice. But you got to get Ray J in, right? You got to bring him back in for the sequel. You need one of the stars of the original in the sequel. If Kim Kardashian won't do it, you have to bring in the younger leading lady, and you keep the male lead. That's how Hollywood works.
Otherwise, it's like the Dukes of Hazzard when they were replaced that one
exactly.
season by 2 other guys.
With Vance and whoever. That's
Coy
not
and Vance.
Coy and Vance. Yeah. Yeah, that's not Bo and Luke. In TV news, Roots is getting a reboot. They're going to remake the miniseries Roots. Now, many of you may have never seen this miniseries. It was a huge hit in the 1970s.
Seminal, if you will.
It was. It still, to this day, has one of the biggest ratings ever. The finale of Roots brought in 100 million viewers who watched that miniseries. History Channel bought the rights, and they're going to remake it. They said this time, the whites are going to be slaves. So it's going to be much more African-American friendly. It's going to be a much more upbeat ending. I'm auditioning for Chicken George. I'm looking forward to it.
The original miniseries is still very, very watchable, but I agree. You could absolutely do a reboot of this.
I agree. This makes sense. The original one got 37 Emmy nominations when it was on the air.
Mm.
Only won 9 because the Academy hates black people. I kid. In movie news, there may be a Hunger Games theme park coming to you soon.
Oh, that's awesome, because you drop your kids off and they'll fucking fight each
that's
other?
That's right. Sounds like the worst idea ever for a theme park.
I don't want to go. Get the fuck in there and win. Here's a fucking bow and arrow. You don't come out until these fuckers are dead. Don't forget to buy a hamburger at lunch.
That's right. Go by the churro stand and get yourself a little something. The Hunger Games theme park. All kids love to go to the Hunger Games theme park. And the ones that survive really enjoy it. 2 different territories they're looking into building a Hunger Games theme park based on the wild success of the first film. And, of course, the sequel's coming out. And then they have 2 more movies coming out afterwards. I think they split up the last book into 2 films.
What was the other thing? Twilight. Imagine if a couple years ago when Twilight was all the rage, people were like, let's build a fucking theme park.
At this what would point. That be, though, that theme park? Just a bunch of, like, surly-looking vampires just sneering and glittering in the sun. Hi, welcome to Twilight Land. Whose team are you on? I'm so pregnant so fast.
Just you have to be this tall to get on the ride.
But Hunger
blah,
Games.
Blah.
Is that your vampire? Hunger Games is action, though, and shit. Things happening. And
fuck yeah, man.
Wigs and outfits.
Kids knifing kids in the head and shit.
That's
like
right.
That.
More movie news. Walt Disney talking to Jon Favreau this week to helm the live-action adaptation of The Jungle Book.
So they did this once, though, didn't they?
They did it. It was a big, horrific failure. So Disney immediately decided, let's do another one. Because when people think Jungle Book, they think the 60s animated, wonderful, for every generation animated version with all the music in it that everyone loves. So let's do a version that no one will like immediately.
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, man. I'm a huge fan of Iron Man. Like, I watched that movie.
Favreau's
it's
a good
my
director.
Go-to. He's a really great filmmaker. And, like, that dude had the vision to be like, ah, let's get Robert Downey Jr. in this movie. And that's the spine of the entire Marvel Universe.
Right.
He was the dude that fought for Robert Downey Jr. when, like, other people were like, no fucking way. So, and that movie, if you look at that movie, it's pretty almost flawless, man. It's like a modern classic. I love Iron Man. So, I'll watch anything he does, give him the benefit of the
so if Robert Downey Jr. plays Mowgli, then you'll be happy.
Yes! Right. No, he can't be Mowgli. He's got to be Baloo. He's total Baloo the Bear.
Yeah. Favreau says, this is my first real family film since Elf, and there are action elements and visual effects that I feel my experience on the Iron Man films are going to be useful.
Oh, then I'm fucking there.
So Mowgli will be in a suit of iron.
Put Iron Man in the movie.
I'm the king of the jungle, the jungle. Just kills King Louie with a repulsor blast. Be awesome.
Look for the banner.
Fuck you, jungle! Just comes, starts blowing shit up. And from time to time, we hear about new movies that are going to be coming out, and we can just tell without ever seeing a frame of the film that they're going to fucking suck. That's why the segment's called Movies That Will Suck.
Bruckheimer, Schumacher, Michael Bay, they make movies that make you say, oh my God, that's bullshit, what the fuck? They're movies that will suck.
Please don't be Tusk. Please
announced
don't
this
be
week.
Tusk. I was safe for 3 years. I wasn't making movies. Now I'm sweating it every week. I'm like, is that me?
Jersey Girl director Kevin Smith announces he's making a film about a guy who turns another guy into a walrus. John Favreau said, who the fuck thinks that's an idea for a movie?
I still like Iron Man.
No, this movie stars The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He will play a member of a SEAL team, which goes after supernatural threats, demons, and underworld dwellers.
Fuck you, take my money.
Are you high?
Yes.
That's true.
But that sounds fun, man.
They find out that the devil is behind all of these problems in the United States.
Take all my money. I love devil movies, man.
The name of the movie? SEAL Team 666. Based on the title alone, I say, fuck you.
No, that's going to be fun.
You're...
He's friends with them.
That's going to... I don't know.
Are you friends with The Rock,
no,
too?
No, I don't know, man. But I remember... Remember Golden Child? Eddie Murphy's Golden Child?
Yes, I do remember.
I remember going to see Golden Child. They never told you in the trailers that it was about, like, the devil at the end... Spoilers. At the end of the movie for a fucking 30-year-old movie.
Yeah.
And then when it happened in the flick, I was like, oh, this is fantastic. I would love to see this. A dude who's, like, fully trained to go after demons and Lucifer's involved. That sounds metal.
SEAL Team 666.
Fuck yes, man. That was the name
you
of my...
You love
fucking...
puns. That's why.
No, it's the name of my high school band.
In music news, the holiday albums are coming out now. Christmas is right around the corner, you fuckers. So buy us something, because we want stuff. Duck Dynasty, the cast of Duck Dynasty, released their Christmas album this week. Do we have a picture of that? Yeah, it's called Duck the Halls.
Somebody must be watching this show. A lot of people are
millions of people are watching this show. It's a monster hit, and for the life of me, I can't understand it, except for the fact that they finally brought cable to the fucking farms, and that was the biggest problem.
Cable TV?
Yes. Now everybody gets it, man.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Here is one of the tracks from this collection of Christmas classics, including Uncle Cy, the beloved old Uncle Cy, who does his version of The Night Before Christmas.
And the night before Christmas, I was sitting in my house, and there wasn't nothing moving around, not even a mouse. The socks were hung up by the fireplace to dry, in hopes that old Santa Claus would bring me some pie. My children are grown, so nobody's in bed, and I got the sound of duck calls stuck in my head.
Millions of people watch that.
It makes me want to fucking skip Christmas this year.
Yes, I hear you. And in more music news, last week, we were talking about Chinese, or a couple weeks ago, Chinese food. That song from the guy who brought us Thanksgiving and, of course, Friday. Well, the girl who... Shut up now. The girl who did that song, the Chinese food song, has another song out this week. And finally, the guy who writes all those songs, Patrice Wilson, he writes this Arc Music Factory. He's out. He's absolutely out. Because it was Friday, and then it was like Thanksgiving, and then it was Chinese food. Like, he's running out of things to write about. So now he's just down to the alphabet. This song is called A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Oh, no.
I shit you not. Here's a clip from the latest from the Arc Music Factory, Alison Gold's A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Yeah, in the video, Patrice plays a Mr. Rogers type guy who looks in through... who peeks in through the little dollhouse window and sees that little girl in there, and he sort of like creeps on her, and then he doses her with some magic potion, and everyone around him turns into puppets. It's a very strange video. Actually, you're high. You might like it.
Pedophile.
Yes, yes. Not the good kind.
Nice one.
Let's take a look at the world of the geeks this week as we look at this week's geek news.
Ralph and Kevin, Ralph and Kevin, Ralph and Kev. Geek news.
A big geek week news. Let's start off with a nice feel-good story.
This is adorable.
This is just so sweet. The Make-A-Wish Foundation, which is a great organization. They led Kevin to believe he's making a movie about a walrus, and it's so sweet.
Is that what's happening?
Yeah, I'm sorry to tell you, brother.
I knew everything was going so well.
They did an amazing thing, are doing an amazing thing this week. On November the 15th, the Make-A-Wish Foundation in San Francisco is transforming San Francisco into Gotham City for a five-year-old boy named Miles. Miles is battling leukemia, and his chances apparently are not good. And so they want to fulfill his dream of being Batman. What they have done is they've set it up on the 15th. Miles is going to get a call from the actual police chief of San Francisco. Waiting outside for him will be his own Batmobile and his own Batman costume. And he will go off to fight and conquer the Riddler and the Penguin throughout the city. They've got it all mapped out where it's going to be.
That is so fucking sweet.
And they've gotten people there to volunteer to be crowds to cheer him on as he fights these criminals and... There's going to be a big reception at City Hall where he's going to get the key to the city and the thanks from the mayor of San Francisco for his work capturing these horrible villains. And
it's
an amazing event. It's such a big scale. If you want to follow along or if you're listening and you're in San Francisco and you want to participate, you can go to sf.wish.org. But this is going to make me cry. But here's a picture of Miles, five-year-old Miles, in his costume. This is... And not coincidentally, that is also the costume that Zack Snyder showed Kevin that's going to be in the next Batman versus Superman movie. So,
oh, man. Usually humanity can be counted on to be an absolute shit pop, but something like this makes you go like, that's tremendous. That's the best
pretty cool.
People can be. A whole fucking city getting together for Miles. Go get them, fucking Miles.
While we're talking about people doing nice things, there's a group called criticalcarecomics.org. You can go on there and donate. They take comic books into children's hospitals and distribute them to kids who are suffering from illnesses. And they said their job is to try to relieve the trauma and the pain for these kids, even if it's only 28 pages at a time. So I just want to give them a shout-out because they're doing good work there, too. So
really good work.
In lighter geek news, Netflix has announced they've ordered four different Marvel live-action TV series.
Fuck out of here, really?
Four characters from the Marvel Universe are going to be made into live-action TV series for Netflix, which, of course, is doing very well now thanks to House of Cards. Mm-hmm. One of them, Daredevil, is going to be a live-action TV show. Yeah.
I didn't hear this.
Jessica Jones from the Marvel Universe. She was an Alias. She played as a private detective, a superhero. Iron Fist.
Hey! Holy shit, man. They're going and Luke Cage?
And Luke Cage,
they're gonna do
hero for hire. Yeah. And then they're going to do a miniseries, a 13-episode miniseries called The Defenders, where they put them all together to fight together.
That is an old Marvel title, The Defenders.
Yeah, exactly.
This is awesome. What a great plan. I'm so into this.
The CW Network, which of course has Arrow, they also announced more superhero TV shows this week. They're doing a TV series based on Our Man.
Which one?
I can tell by the reaction that you are very excited about Our Man.
Which one?
The most recent one, I think.
Okay.
Our Man, we can see an hour into the future and to stop crime because that's person of interest, basically, is what it is. It's. But I like the old Iron Man, the Our Man, because he'd take a pill.
That's it. He popped a pill.
Popped a pill, and like for an hour, he'd have superpowers.
Yeah.
It's like Viagra Man. He just.
That fucking dream became a reality.
I know. Here's the original Our Man. This is from the 1940s. That's what he looked like. And he's just way too gay for television now these days. It's Miley Cyrus on the Wrecking Ball. You're right. It's Our Man should be licking a sledgehammer. And he's got a little hourglass around his neck. But he had superpowers for an hour. That was his shtick. He'd take Miraclo, the pill, and he'd have superpowers for an hour.
Yeah.
That's a bullshit superpower. What if you're fighting that really tough guy and minute 61 rolls around? And then you're just like blowing him so he won't hurt you.
And then when he's fucking, after he comes, you quickly swallow a pill. And then you're back, man, for another hour.
That's right. The real Batman showed up in Scotland this week. It's Musselburgh is the name of the town. It was Batman, Robin, David Hasselhoff, and a Smurf were walking down the street.
Yeah. Apparently, sounds like a joke, man.
So Batman, Robin, David Hasselhoff, and a Smurf walk into a bar.
And he's got a duck on his head.
David Hasselhoff drinks the bar dry. No, apparently they were going to a party, as you can imagine, and someone out of nowhere showed up and punched Robin in the face.
Oh.
It's always Robin, man.
Yeah.
Well, they all chased the attacker into a local supermarket and tackled him in the toilet paper roll until police arrived. Here's the tweet from police. Thank you, Batman, Robin, Robin's dad, a Smurf, and Hasselhoff for helping us on Friday night. Hashtag Tesco, which is the name of a chain there of supermarkets. Sorry about the toilet paper roll. So, glad to hear that. And my favorite geek news of the week. In China, they are not good. And I mean by the fact they've got a lot of bootleg stuff there. And their connection to pop culture, especially American pop culture, is shaky at best sometimes.
Yeah.
So apparently Thor, The Dark World, the brand new Thor movie, opened up there in China
this
week.
Which came out this weekend. Who saw it?
Anybody see Thor, The Dark World? It's
a
monster hit. It's like $90 million on Friday.
It's that big.
Like, yeah, huge win.
And? You dig it?
Yeah. You liked it?
Right on.
Thor the Dark World opened in China, but a movie theater in China decided to use, I guess, save some money or do a bootleg poster, but they used a different image other than the sanctioned one that came from Marvel. The Marvel poster shows Thor holding close Jane Foster, Natalie Portman's character in the film. Could we have a picture of the Marvel-approved poster? There, it's Thor holding Jane very close. They're battling, and it's all very exciting and very romantic. I guess they don't understand Thor in China, so what they did was they pulled an image off of the internet that apparently came from some homoerotic fan fiction. It features Thor and his brother. Can we put that picture up?
Holy shit!
Thor fans were confused as they watched Thor butt-fuck his own brother, basically. They were...
Right in the old Asgard. I would totally fucking see this movie. I hope that's Thor 3.
Talk about the Loki pokey stick. That's really what he got working there.
It should be Thor 3 way.
Or, boy, is my ass Thor.
Hey, man, before we jump into what we jump into, I want to do that thing with you.
Oh, you want to do the audition thing?
I do want
make
to
me audition in front of 300 people,
yeah,
dude?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so the idea is Ralph is playing a detective who two of the characters go see, a Canadian detective.
I'm a hardened Canadian detective?
Yep, and he's got a line to say at one point, and the line in the script is, now there's a serious goose fucker, eh? So that's the line in the script, but I got a bunch of options. Let me hear the first one. Now that's a serious goose fucker, eh?
Well, that's a serious goose fucker, eh?
All right, so that's good. Now I'm going to go through the list, and the one that gets the best reaction, that's the one we're going to use.
Okay.
Same type of thing. Right. Now this next one is, now that's a double-double sans sucre, eh? Meaning that's a double-double without sugar.
Now that's a double-double sans sucre, eh?
Okay, that would play huge in Canada.
Yeah, big in Canada. Might have to dub it in for the American version.
A little bit, man. Okay, how about this one? Now that's the real noose on the moose, eh?
Now that's the real noose on the moose, eh?
I like that one. Yeah. Now that's the real two for high sticking, eh?
Now that's the real two for high sticking, eh?
This one's a little cute. That's the real maple on the leaf, eh?
Now that's the real maple on the leaf, eh? You just want me to do the bad one.
And this is the last one I have as an option, man. This is, you know, up there they don't have the president. They have a prime minister.
Eh?
They call
sure.
him the PM.
Right.
So this one is, now that's the real BM and the PM's coffee, eh?
Now that's the real BM and the PM's coffee, eh?
I think it'll be the last one.
PM into PM's coffee?
That's nice. It's a little preview of what I'm going to see on Sunday as Ralph Acton and whatnot.
Yeah. You just have to keep that accent, eh, for next weekend. That's
the whole time.
That's right, because I'm going to lose it, and I'll start doing Sean Connery. That's the real PM in the PM's coffee, eh?
Now do it as Pacino.
Ooh, ah. Ah. That's the real BM in the PM's coffee. Ooh, ah.
Now Chuck Heston.
Ah. That's the real BM in the PM's coffee. Hey.
Billy Joel, did you
Billy
say?
Billy Joel.
Do you have a Billy Joel?
No. Don't listen to him. I'm your fucking partner. You're looking to him for
a... Like I've never knew you had a Billy Joel, man.
We didn't start the fire. We don't talk about Liam Neeson's cock?
Fuck yes.
Let's do that. Of course, Liam Neeson. Let me explain this to my Switzerland friends. Liam Neeson, the actor. Are you familiar? Sweetheart, honey, I'm right over here. Are you familiar with Liam Neeson, the actor?
Liam Neeson.
My friend will translate. He was in the movie Taken. Remember Taken? Don't look at him. Taken. He was probably the same in Switzerland.
The answer's not hidden in the cunts.
He was in the first Batman movie. He was the bad guy with the beard. You remember that, Liam Neeson? Love Actually? Any of this ringing a bell?
Schindler's List. She's like.
Oh, yeah, she knows Schindler's List.
She's like, I'm from Switzerland. I don't not know who Liam Neeson is.
Anyway, supposedly, he's got a huge penis.
Mm.
So
every
super week,
large penis.
He's got. You remember the size of the chocolate trunk that you guys got us? Yes, exactly, honey. He's got a Lindt chocolate case-sized penis. And so every week at the end of this show, since you're not familiar, we talk about how big his penis is, and people send in facts about how enormous Liam Neeson's penis is. Does that help? Okay, all right.
These are not true. As far as we know, people make these up.
And sometimes they're not funny, but...
like us right now.
But we do it. All right. Liam Neeson, you go to NeesonCock.com if you want to add your own facts to the legend of the size of his penis. Liam Neeson's cock is so big...
How big is it?
That when he forgot to zip his fly at the zoo, little kids kept shoving peanuts into the end of it. Because they thought it was an elephant's trunk, honey. Liam Neeson's cock is so big.
How big is it?
Ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough, ain't no river wide enough to keep it from you. Liam Neeson's cock is so big.
How big is it?
Justin Bieber was caught spray painting it, but claims he didn't know it was illegal. Liam Neeson's cock is so big. That he needs fellow actor Olivia Wilde to help tuck it into his sock. I don't know if you saw the photo released this week or not. Apparently it came out of his pants leg while they were shooting a film, and she was kind enough to drop to her knees and tuck it into his sock, as it were. God bless her. Liam Neeson's cock is so big. It's what made Indiana Jones afraid of snakes.
Hold on, we're going to let Switzerland do the how big is it. Ready? I'm going to give you the mic, and when he says, nobody else say it, when he says, Liam Neeson's cock is so big, you two together, do you speak English?
They're well
even if not, better. You guys say, how big is it, but say it in that Swedish, Switzerland talk. Here we go.
Here you go, take the mic. There you go. Ready? You two together. It's a duet. Everyone else, be quiet. Shh. Liam Neeson's cock is so big.
How big is it?
Yeah. That's going to be my ringtone now.
It sounds
like very big, ladies.
It sounded like hot European porn.
It did, yeah.
How big is it? Pizza man.
Who ordered the extra pepperoni on this pizza?
Do you want marshmallows in that cocoa? I Swiss missed you.
Fuck you!
Shut up! File. That was awesome!
Not only am I not gonna file
fucking
it.
Fucking kill yourself!
I'm not only not gonna file, I'm gonna try it when I go home tonight.
That shouldn't be filed, that should be embroidered on a pillow. That's a fucking, that's how good that joke was. What language do you guys speak in Switzerland? Is it Swiss? Is there a Swiss language? Swiss German. So it's like German, but you have special, like, code words that the Nazis don't understand.
Yeah. Wait, then say some of your funny talk to us, man.
Your funny talk?
Review the show in your language. Here, review.
Tell us what you thought so far about the show in Swiss German.
Oh, my God.
Just a real quick review of the show, what you thought of the show. First time hearing the show, what'd you think?
Also, ich bin das erste Mal da gsi. Es erzählen zwei Typen auf der Bühne nur Scheiße.
Yeah, thank
sie
you.
Sie reden über Penis.
In the penis, sure.
Pedophile.
Stop it. These are guests to our show.
Talk me off in Swiss.
I'm oh so sorry, God. Ladies. You seem very nice. I'm sorry. I apologize. I had no idea it was going to turn into that.
Oh, that brought the cuckoo out my clock. Thank you. Oh, that's not. We need fucking Swiss sidekicks every week, man. And now penis.
Liam Neeson's cock penis. They could introduce the end for
it. I like it. Yeah.
Say in Swiss German. I'm gonna everyone else be quiet because I want to record this because we're gonna play this every week before the Liam Neeson cock bit. I want you to say in Swiss German, how big is Liam Neeson's cock in Swiss German? Okay.
On a count of three.
Okay. Stop it.
Wie groß ist Liam Neeson's Penis?
Yeah. That's a keeper right there. That's a keeper.
Oh.
So when I say we've got a question we ask every week, that's what we're going to hear from now on.
Americans are easy, man. We're just like, you sound like you're on Game of Thrones.
I thought she was conjuring a dragon.
You are the mother of this dragon right here.
Oh, my Lord.
That is so hot. Okay. Back to the show.
Liam Neeson's cock is so big.
How big is it?
A woman has to sit through a half a dozen movie trailers before she can enjoy it. Liam Neeson's cock is so big.
How big is it?
The last time Liam got crabs, the doctor sent in Quint, Hooper, and Brody to deal with them.
That's a Jaws joke.
That's a Jaws joke.
Very good.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Liam Neeson's cock is so big.
How big is it?
Farrah Abraham waxed its unibrow. Liam Neeson's cock is so big.
How big is it?
In Scotland, they pay tribute to it with fireworks. You may not know what that means until you watch this video. Here's a little piece of video this week from a fireworks display in Scotland. Again, shall we? You want to see that again?
Oh.
Yeah, that happened.
That is better than anything I've ever seen at Disneyland, man.
Absolutely.
Holy shit, that was fantastic.
I'm moving to Scotland. And lastly, Liam Neeson's cock is so big. When he urinates out of doors, there's a rainbow.
Wow, man, it just ended so...
I thought that was funny, because it rain when it rains...
It's
you know,
true, but it was just
rainbow.
Like we were on such a roll. It was just like, I'm going to fuck you, I'm going to come hard.
All right, show the video of the jizzing fireworks again. Can we show that, James? Can you do that?
Save us, James. Oh, God.
Wait, here it comes. Here we go. There you go.
Orange County, have you had a good time this evening?
Thank you so much for a very memorable evening. I know I had a good time. Thanks for selling us out here. We really appreciate it.
We are for sure coming back, man. You guys sold us out, so we'll be back very, very soon. We'll let you know, man. Thanks for being here. Give it up for the Babelmeister himself, Mr. Ralph fucking Garman.
And for my good friend and Babel brother, Mr. Kevin Smith.
And that is Hollywood Babylon for this week. I'm Kevin Smith.
I'm Ralph Garman.
Babel the fuck off. Good night, Brian.
Thank you, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up one more time for Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman, Hollywood Babylon, live at the world famous Improv in Berea.
This has been a production of Smodco Internet Radio. Sir, only at smodcast.com.
Hey, Kev, it's time to record a new Smodcast.
Fuck off. I'm listening to one of the other great shows on the Smodcast Podcast Network. Scott?
There's so many to choose from.
You damn skippy, there's so many to choose from. I'm on five every week myself, man. Hollywood Babylon on Monday, Smodcast with you on Tuesday, Jay and Silent Bob Get Old on Wednesday with Jay Muse, Fat Man on Batman every Thursday, and then I wrap up the week with Edumacation with Andy McElfrish.
There's so many to choose from.
Hell yeah, son, and those aren't the only podcasts. Those are just the ones I'm involved with. What about the podcasts of Smodco that don't feature me, man, like Tell 'Em Steve Dave, Last Week on Earth with Ben Glebe, I Sell Comics with Ming and Mike.
There's so many to choose from.
Hey, man, there's also Film School Fridays or Netheads or Get Up on This, Team Jack.
There's so many to choose from.
The Breaks, man. Waking from the American Dream. Bagged and Boarded. Phoebe. Soundbite Nation. These are all the shows you could be listening to over at Smodcast.com, Scott.
There's so many to choose from.
And if audio's not enough for you, man, if you're just like, no, I want the thick dick of video as well, man, we can go to our YouTube channel, which is CSmod. Or you can watch Comic Book Men, our show on AMC, following The Walking Dead and The Talking Dead every Sunday night.
There's so many to choose from.
That's right, Scott. There are so many to choose from. So get choosing, kids. Go to smodcast.com. Start getting picky, man. Stick these sweet, sweet oral sounds into your ear pussies.
There's so many to choose from.
You said that already.
There's so many to choose from.